Bubba Wallace here from 2311 Racing. Funny thing about being fast, you end up waiting a lot. First to show up, first in line, then just waiting. Me, I rev up Chumba Casino. With over 200 social casino games, no slow lanes here. Why sit around when you can spin? I'm already racing. Your turn. Play for free at ChumbaCasino.com. That's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
Independence, Ohio.
We changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bringing to light the enemy of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 11th day, Friday, 11th day of July 2025. And tonight, our producer is none other than Josh Booth. Hey, Josh.
Hey.
And way out yonder, wearing his 10-gallon hat with those great big cowboy boots, riding his horse right into the studio, none other than Big John McTurnan.
Well, thank you for that nice introduction, Pastor Ernie. God bless you, all our listeners. May we have a great show. And please, it's only a 5-gallon hat.
Only a 5-gallon. Yeah, but it's a 10-gallon head. All right, listen, we got a lot to talk about tonight, so we're going to get right into it. The title of the message this week was Twice Born, Once Dead. Once Born, Twice Dead. And it has to deal with soteriology, which is the teaching of salvation. And here, the occasion is because of this, what is this, this heresy that's been... it's been picking up now. Again, it's back, and it's called universal salvation. Universal salvation, and the heresy is that all sins have now been forgiven, and that everybody goes to heaven. Everybody goes to heaven. And so up to this point, we've been showing you verses, Bible verses, that the opposition uses to try to get this point across, where they take them out of context. Like John 3:16, for God so loved the world. They say, you see, he loved the whole world. He loved the world, okay? Then they shows you how God will finish the good work that he started. Therefore, it wasn't God's intention that any would not be saved, so therefore everyone gets saved. And so, again, they twist and they spin on these Bible verses, and whenever you take a verse out of context, John, it becomes a pretext, huh?
Oh, amen, Pastor Ernie. Amen.
And so now we're going to take a look at, we're going to shift up instead of showing you the verses that they use. We're going to show you what the Bible actually says here tonight about can everyone be saved? Is there universal salvation? And tonight we're going to start in Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7, and those are what verses 13 and 14. See, John's got his electronic Bible there. And he's going to be going through it right now. Are you there, John?
I'm ready, Pastor Ernie. Matthew chapter 7, starting at verse
13, and read verses 13 and 14.
Enter ye in at the strait gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat.
Would you say that that would be like a teaching of universal salvation, a wide gate?
Well, it leadeth to destruction, Pastor Ernie, so I guess you would apply it to false teachers, leadeth to destruction.
Yep. Okay, go ahead and read the next verse.
Because straight is the gate, and narrow is the way which leadeth unto life, and few there be that find it.
So he says a few. A few is definitely not everybody, is it?
Well, right. The one that leads to destruction is broad. And the one that leads to eternal life is narrow.
So in Zechariah, we look at verses 14, chapter, the last three verses, 7 through 9, and chapter 13. The Lord talks about when the nation of Israel, those that are going to be saved. And you know, there's a distinction between the sons of Abraham and the seed of Abraham, and we see that the sons of Abraham, which is one third, are going to receive Christ as a Savior, and they're going to be saved and enter into Shiloh. So here, you know, God does things the same way. And you know, if I was to say, how many is a couple, John? The word couple, what would you say?
Two.
How many is the word, if I say it's a few, what would you say?
Three, four, five, and around there?
Usually three would be a few. And in fact, I think one of the definitions in the old Webster's is for three, okay? And there he's got, in that passage of Scripture, it says one third, a third of those will be saved, okay? And so here, you know, God does things the same way. He's immutable, you know, over and over. And I just have a feeling that one third of those that are actually professing born again believers are going to be saved. Other people think that that's way too high. That it's way too high. What do you think,
Pastor Ernie? It's hard to tell. I don't know what to say. Seriously, you know, I don't know of a way to gauge that percentage-wise, like in Scripture.
So, this is why I'm asking, you know, because you know that we all have different opinions on that. And then whenever there's something that the Bible does not clearly deal exactly with, well, I know. Let's ask Josh. He's pretty smart. Hey, Josh.
Yeah.
What do you think? What percentage of those that are professing Christians are actually saved?
I'm going to go 50%.
Boy, that's really high. That's really high. That would be way... I don't think it would be anywhere near that. But
I was giving grace. How's that?
Yeah, all right. Very good. Let's go pick it up, John, and read 21 through 23.
All right, we're back in Matthew.
Yep, back chapter 7.
21 through 23. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name? And in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works. And then will I profess unto them, I never knew you. Depart from me, ye that work iniquity.
So here now, he's making a point again, many will come, but and he says few will enter. And so a few out of many, I would say, that I would be very gracious in saying 30% would be, are actually saved. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. And think about all of those people that you see. Think about this. All of the professing Christians, how many are doers of the word? Now listen, remember, be a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own selves. Deceiving your own selves. And the vast majority of people out there today, I mean, if you take a look at the Bible churches, remember what Jesus said, when I return, well, shall I find any faith on earth? The Bible churches, for the most part, have lost those that are sticking to the scriptures, conservative teaching, holding fast to the scriptures. They're not today, their membership has declined in the last few years about 30%. Now, on the other hand, the prosperity churches, what we were talking about here, out there, that are playing off people's greed. We talked about this before. They tickle the ears of people, and they play off their fleshly nature. And here they teach. Remember, a lot of them are adopting this universal salvation thing. And it's like, listen, don't worry about heaven. You'll get there sooner or later. Live the good life now. Live it right now. This is, remember, again, what did Gloria Olstein say of what God's intentions are for us? She said that all what God wants for us is for us to be healthy. He wants us to be happy. He wants us to be wealthy. Okay, and that it's not about God, that it's God doesn't think about him, okay? It's about us. It's all about us. What do you think of that, John?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's all about Jesus Christ and advancing his kingdom and his on earth here, and we advance that by winning souls and making disciples. Amen?
Yeah.
That's our... You're a being now. Yeah, God wants to bless us, but it's not, everything doesn't revolve around us. It revolves around the Lord.
He says, I am the Lord. There is none besides me. There is none beside me. Okay? That don't sound universal to me, does it?
Right. It's all about him, Pastor Ernie.
Well, that's what it should be. See, question, did he create us to serve him, or did we create God to serve us?
Right, right. And that's what's going on today. It's 180 degrees off.
Remember what Nietzsche said? Nietzsche said that God created man in his image. And now through technology, man is going to return the favor. God will be what man says he is. And that's what that, what's his name? The Jewish guy from the World Economic Forum. You know who I'm talking
about? Noah, his first name is Noah.
Yeah.
Noah, I can't think of his name.
Yeah, and he's virtually quoting Nietzsche. So, all right, he goes on. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in thy name, and in thy name have cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works? You know, when I think about Kevin Copeland, or Kenneth Copeland, holding up the Bible, saying, this is the word of God. This is God's word right here. You can take this and make God produce. In other words, he's saying you can take this book and make God give you material things, material blessings. What do you think about that?
Yeah, that's like merchandising God, Pastor Ernie. You know, it's like he's like your little genie in the bottle that you rub and pops up and what you wish. And it's the other way around. God does want to bless us, but we don't have, like, we don't snap our fingers and then there he is. It's wrong. It's out of place.
So, here now, remember what Gloria said. God wants you to be wealthy. Remember what Joel said. Live the good life now. When he was being interviewed, he said, I truly believe, okay, that it's, you know, it's God's intention that that all of us are very wealthy. And of course, you can get wealthy by sending him your money, right? Jesus said it's easier for a rich man or for a camel to enter into the eye of a needle than for what?
I'm tongue-tied, Pastor Ernie.
All right.
It's difficult for the rich to be in heaven because of the baggage with their riches, their focus.
So they put their trust in their wealth.
Riches, yeah.
And not in God, huh?
Exactly right.
And so over in James chapter 5, it says, woe unto you, rich men, woe unto you, rich men. So that's not exactly what universal salvation teaches, and that's not what Joel Osteen teaches it by any means, is it?
Mr. Ernie, I have a question for you about universalism.
Okay.
The way it's being presented today, what do you do with Revelation, like chapter 20 there, and the great white throne judgment? What do they do with that?
Well, that's just it. They don't go there. They only take verses that they can take out of context. I'll tell you one they won't touch. And that's if you go over to Revelation 21 and verse 8. And we're going to get there, but 21 and verse 8 really kind of cooks them. In fact, let's go there. Revelation 21 and verse 8. Well, let's do 7 and 8, okay? Revelation 21, 7 and 8. Now, they have a real hard time fitting universal salvation into this one. By the way, Josh, if you have a question or comment, just jump in. Okay. So he says, he that overcometh shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. He that overcometh. He that overcometh. Now, but the fearful and the unbelieving and the abominable and murderers and whoremongers and sorcerers and idolaters and all liars shall have their part in the lake of fire, which burneth with fire and brimstone, which is the second death. That one last part about all liars, what do you think that would say? What kind of a message would that be to lawyers out there and politicians today?
Well, Pastor Ernie, it's really an eye-opener to see the boldness and the depth of lying with these politicians. They've always lied, but years ago it was subtle. And it was covered over, like, and now it's right in your face. I mean, right in your face, Pastor Ernie, with the lying and that. So they relish in the lying, and they lie about lying.
Yeah.
That verse that you just read in Revelation 1:8, I mean, perfectly fits these people.
That's actually, if you just go over that, really, that's the Democratic Party platform right there. That's their platform. I mean, everything that's in there. And so, all right, I want to go now to Jude chapter, well, this is Jude, let's just do chapter 1, but we'll do verses 17 through 23, Jude 17 through 23, and whenever you're ready, John.
But beloved, remember ye the words which spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ, how that they told you there should be mockers in the last time, who should walk after their own ungodly lust. These be those who separate themselves, sensual, having not the Spirit. Whoops, hang on, Pastor Ernie. That confounded electric Bible of mine. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life.
Here, when we go and we read verse 17, but beloved, remember ye the words which were spoken before of the apostles of our Lord Jesus Christ. Here, Jude assumes that he himself is not one of the apostles of Christ, but he refers to their teachings as divine authority. And so here he goes on to say, how then that they told you that there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own godly lust. Boy, do we see that today, don't we? I mean, wow.
Pastor Ernie, I have found that there is tremendous spiritual power in the mockers. I mean, you know, negative from hell. Some of them, you know, I ignore, but some of them, Pastor Ernie, they've got power in them. That mocking has a real negative power from hell in it. Have you ever noticed that running into the mockers? You know, there's like sort of degrees of them, and some of them, that mocking can, it tends to want to disarm you.
Well, those that are out there, let me tell you what happened, okay? When the Republican Party had their convention here in Cleveland, back around, you know, that was somewhere, you know, around 2015, somewhere like that, I went down there, and here you had the Antifa, you had a bunch of unclean women. They were dressed like nuns, okay, but they and you had now here's
something. They're called Sisters of Perpetual Indulgence.
Yeah, and one of my deacons just reminded me of this. This was one of those like supernatural event that took place. You had the police line set up. You had like, you know how one of those little halfway fence that comes up about three or four feet, you know, and then you had the police standing behind it. I was right in front of it, and actually up on the roof you actually had snipers, but you had those sisters, and you had the Antifa. And they were all out there. So I just started preaching to them about God's word, you know, about the lake of fire, you know. And I'm walking towards them. I'm walking towards them, John. And they're backing up. I mean, there's about 20-something of them, and they're backing up. They're backing up. And they had been up there screaming and yelling and cursing. And this cop that was behind me, he was a little bit short guy. I mean, he must have just was able to probably make it into the police department at his height. And they had gotten up in his face, and they were, you know, intimidating him. And when I started preaching the Word of God, and like I said, I just started walking towards them, they were backing up, and people started cheering me. And I didn't even realize what was going on. It was like I didn't even think about it, but like it's like it was God's word that shut down their mocking. But they backed up and they backed right out of the whole area there. They left. And that was one of those amazing things. I just, one of my deacons reminded me of that. And Pastor Sundermeyer was there. That was one of the things that he had come out there with me on. And, of course, he went home to be with the Lord. All right, we're going to hear from a fellow. His name is Dan Kubasik. Dan's been in prison for 2 years. Apparently, he hasn't had his trial yet. Hasn't had a trial. He's got a story. Now, folks, I want to say this, that we have not obviously had time to investigate and verify everything that he's going to say in here. But I personally believe, so the opinion is his opinion. But I personally understand and believe, and John, you will too, because you and I have both had to deal with corrupt police and corrupt officials, judges in that. But this man worked with on the Vance campaign. He also was active in pro-life activity. And so, folks, you'll have to, you know, but we know what it's like, John. You and I know what it's like to have to deal with corrupt judges and prosecutors, don't we?
Yeah, Pastor Ernie, there's a whole new world out there, or different world, in pro-life compared to what the average person sees. In other words, when we're active in pro-life, we see the corrupt police. Don't they manifest to the surface, Pastor Ernie? I mean, not all police are corrupt. And the district attorneys, the judges, they all, when it deals with pro-life, you could see it. You could see how they compromise themselves, the hatred they have for us, how they want to protect these abortion centers. The average person that doesn't get involved with the courts and all, they have no clue of the evil that surrounds those abortion centers.
No, they don't. And I got to say this, too, because the good cops, the clean cops, those that actually took that oath and obeyed the oath that they took to the Constitution, those that did not disrespect God and country in a uniform, and those, all of those police officers that died on duty, they had my back a lot of times. A lot of times, and I want to say I praise the good Lord for the good cops, because the bad ones, the dirty cops, I was a thorn in their side, and just like you were, John. And so, like I said, for every dirty one out there, there was a clean one that had my back, and I praise the good Lord for that, and I appreciate it. I really do.
Yeah.
But anyhow,
what happened with me, Pastor Ernie, in York County, Pennsylvania, this York City and this York County, the Planned Parenthood had a strategy, and a bunch of Planned Parenthood would get behind the Republicans and raise money and all to put them in office. And then a bunch would get behind the Democrats, and they would raise money and all to put them in office. So no matter what happened, the Planned Parenthood was going to win. So we had a judge there that told our attorney that, look, you can't win in York City. He goes, they own everything. And he said, on my political campaign, I have workers from me that are part of Planned Parenthood. He said they own York City and a good part of the county. And they were absolutely true, Pastor Ernie. We couldn't win a case in New York City against Planned Parenthood. We had to appeal everything to a higher court, and that's where we won. They owned everything. They owned the police. All the corrupt police would come down there with the squad car, with the uniform on, the guns, and they were working for Planned Parenthood. They got paid overtime to work for Planned Parenthood. The district attorney, the mayor of York, all the chief of police, all were under, they were working for Planned Parenthood.
But anyhow, we're going to go ahead, and I'm going to let Dan tell his story. You and I will go after Planned Parenthood later. They're the most wicked, ungodly, unclean, creeping, crawling purveyor of death in this planet has ever seen. But go ahead, Josh, and bring Dan up.
Hey, Pastor Sanders. Hello. Thank you for taking an interest in me, what I've gone through and what I'm still going through. To sum up really quickly, my name is Daniel Kovacic for your listeners. I'm 34 years old. I'm from the Cleveland, Ohio area. Basically, in May of 2023, I started being targeted, hacked, harassed by what I would come to learn was the government. And on August 17th, 2023, I was falsely accused. And this was a culmination of this targeting. I was falsely accused of having shot a gun and engaging in a five-hour-long barricaded standoff with police and SWAT. It was completely false, never happened. I was never aware police were outside. They knew I wasn't aware that police were outside, and they actually tried to keep it that way, never attempted to contact me other than by calling and texting a phone that they knew I wasn't going to receive the calls or texts. Basically, the entire fake standoff was used to, basically buy time, leverage pressure for the officers to obtain a warrant for my arrest and a warrant to search the condo. There's numerous amounts of false statements in the arrest and search warrants, and it's truly shocking when you look at them, and I'd like to go into those in detail. I would love to, because this is something that I'm asking for an investigation into this would free me and, bring about a lot of wrongdoing, I think, on the part of the government actors. It's important to be clear that these are blatant lies, but there was no probable cause to arrest me or search my condo that day. They used the fake standoff to get it. And prosecutors Brian Decker and Matthew Shepard, who are Department of Justice prosecutors, went to extremes to cover up and recharacterize these false statements as being, just minor misstatements or immaterial. And it's not the case. I mean, they called people and said, this person was a witness. And I reached out to that person. He said, I wasn't a witness. I came after the police were there, and the police told me that they were there for a report of a shooting. And many such instances such as this. So District Court Judge Christopher Boyko is my judge. He has refused to take a serious look at any of it or hold a hearing into this. I think they hand-selected him for me because he pretty much has just largely repeated the prosecutor's claims in his rulings. I'm going to read it into this. I would love to, get into as much detail as possible, as much airtime as you're willing to give me. I know that you've been targeted by the government similar to how I have. I think that's because you have what they fear the most, which is the voice of the Christian resistance. And that's powerful because they don't want what they do made known. And your recent issues on the show, they remind me of things that I went through back then. When the feedback seemed to be coming from you and it only stopped when you left out of the room. Where my mind went, I consider the possibility that you've been implanted with nanotechnology spyware. That's what I believe that agents such as Wayne DeBellis and Nicholas Vishnich of the Cleveland FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force did to me. One of many outrageous things that they did since it was Biden's FBI too, by the way, back in 2023, that unjustly labeled me a terrorist, again, back around May of 2023. And I'd like to tell you guys everything I've experienced. Everything I'm about to say is true and accurate. The government's gone to extreme lengths to keep it quiet. As you know, I'm in federal holding in Youngstown, Ohio. I've been here unjustly held for the past 2 years, fighting one charge of firearm possession. I have not been convicted or sentenced. I have tentatively agreed with the government to get into a plea deal that gets me home here soon, but I'm, considering withdrawing that and going to trial, even though the judge already told me if I lose at trial, I'd be receiving a sentence of probably well over a decade. But, there's a lot of factors outside of my control. I'll try to call in and talk more about all this. But beginning around May of 2023, I began noticing severe changes to my iPhone's operating system. At this time, I also noticed I was being followed and watched by people who wanted me to see them. They wanted to see that they were following me and out there. And it was a lot of them. It was more than, just a couple. It was several sometimes at once. I noticed on multiple occasions my home and car had been broken into with minor modifications made, just like almost as if they just wanted me to see that they'd been there. All of my devices were maliciously hacked, including my computer, which I used only for my work-from-home job. My thermostat that summer kept putting the heat on at over 80 degrees, something that I was, very confused and frustrated with. But when I was trying to fix the issues with my computer, I noticed in the history malware for a thermostat hack that was specific to the thermostat model that I had. And someone so had used my computer either through a remote hack or when they broke in to hack my thermostat. And there's numerous other Stasi KGB-like tactics that I experienced, numerous witnesses to this as well. And as I searched these symptoms and asked my family and friends, I found very few answers, but I did go through thousands of dollars worth of hardware and software to try to stop the break-ins and try to stop the cyber warfare, and found that there was no getting around it. It was a very powerful force that I was facing. I searched online. Eventually, some people said that I was a targeted individual and that I was being gang-stalked and the government was behind it and that they'd likely labeled me a terrorist. So I'd never heard of any of these things before. It was hard to believe, but the criminal nature of the attacks, which I even had actually tried to report to police, and there's a record of this, of me reporting this to the police, along with the fact that I hadn't been engaged in any criminal activity whatsoever, that led me to rule out that the government was behind it for a little bit. But as it was a 24/7 intense, sophisticated job against me, I also concluded that whoever was behind it must have cost hundreds of thousands of dollars and what really could only have been U.S. government or possibly military resources, a waste of those resources, obviously. The government also uses useful idiots, I was told, from underground gang stalking and hacker groups on Telegram and Discord. And they use them as unknowing proxies. They don't know that they're working for the government, but they hack, stalk, and harass victims that are brought to their attention by the feds. Most people wouldn't believe the extent that what I went through that summer, what I suffered. I tried to record it, and I didn't make a good record of it, I think. But it could have made for a horror movie, what I personally experienced. Each time I tried to call the police, they called me paranoid. They tried to make me the focus of the call. It became clear they were looking for a reason to arrest me each time I called. And as the attacks only intensified, I told multiple family and friends, I'm not suicidal, there's nothing illegal on my phone or other devices. I was really truly afraid that I would be killed or framed for a crime, and that's exactly what ended up happening. I'd often say I was positive that something was coming, and I hadn't broken any laws. When I was 18 years old, I got in some trouble. But again, nothing since then. I've completely moved past all of that. So, but that was some of the justification that was used for the fake standoff was from charges back when I was 18. But prior to this unjust targeting in 2023, I was very active in my church. I participated in many Right to Life rallies. I worked on Trump's 2020 campaign, both as a volunteer and paid turf coordinator for the Ohio Republican Party. I worked on J.D. Vance's 2022 Senate campaign as well. But I believe the reason I was targeted is I was active in protesting in person. I did silent life, Right to Life rallies, but I was at several drag shows for children, drag queen story hours that I, you know, was strongly against. I'm still strongly against, and I protested in person. And I believe that's around when I started being targeted. And this is also, remember, this is when Biden's FBI was targeting PTA parents and traditional Catholics. So they apparently had a bunch of time and money to waste on just basically harassing political dissidents. But what I do know for a fact now, that the Department of Justice has just recently admitted that from May through September of 2023, I was designated a national and local threat band level one, which is the FBI's highest threat level that requires immediate and comprehensive action, according to their website. So, and this was a totally unjust, uncaused, and unconstitutional, what I went through, designation. And the immediate and comprehensive action that they took, what the Joint Terrorism Task Force took, almost killed me, and it has had me locked up now for almost 2 years and counting. So on August 17th, 2023, and I have sued about this as well, the false reports that I'm about to go over, but on around 9 p.m. that night, I had been a fairly normal day. I noticed a light shining outside, a noise, and when I looked out, I was totally shocked. I couldn't believe what I saw. There was a small army of SWAT, MRAP tank in my front lawn that had completely destroyed the concrete path driving over it to get up into my front lawn. Snipers set up across the way, a gas and team and assault team ready to blitz the condo. I really thought I was possibly in the middle of a movie set or a war zone. I immediately exit the condo, and over time I've been able to piece together what happened. Is that about 5 hours earlier, police had received 911 calls, shots, reporting gunshots heard in the condominiums around the area, and that they responded around 4 p.m. that day. And no one had ever said that they saw someone with a gun or shooting. In fact, no one ever claimed that they saw me at all that day, except for my girlfriend, who was over and was adamant that I had never left and never shot a gun. She was the only person that ever that day said that she saw me. And still, to this day, that's a fact. And it's something that was a problem for the officers because they were intent on using the calls of the gunshots heard as a ruse to get me. So at 4:48 p.m., the officer in charge, Mark Sopko, and Chief of Police Randy Ice, who was immediately on scene as well, requested the SWAT full team assistance, falsely reporting that I was barricaded and refused to exit the condo. Now, in truth, a proven fact, police had never attempted to even contact me since they arrived. I had no idea that they were even out there. The door was never blocked. I wouldn't even known to block the door because I didn't know the police were outside. The police had never observed any activity at the condo since their arrival either. And this is all made clear by Mark Sopko, the officer in charge's body camera. It's clear that neither he nor any other officer believed I was barricaded or refusing to exit. And it's clear that they knew that I wasn't even aware police were outside, as they remained several hundred feet away from the condo at all times and never attempted to announce their presence, which is basic police protocol. Exactly 1 minute after Sopko falsely requested SWAT, reporting I was barricaded, at 4:49 p.m., he dispatched a false report that he heard gunshots come from inside my condo. Another officer immediately dispatched and said, no, that sounded like construction equipment, but it was a tactic that known as a police-created or police-manufactured exigency. About 17 minutes after this, as SWAT was arriving, around 5:05 p.m., Sopko saw the first activity at my condo as my girlfriend exit the front door of the door that he just reported to be barricaded. And Kelly, who I just met a couple weeks prior to that, wasn't impeded by any barricade, as none ever existed. She made it all the way to her car in the parking lot before even noticing the police, who were surrounding at a very large distance. Sopko ordered her to the ground at gunpoint, which is inexplicable, as the report that he was going off of was that an unknown male had shot a gun in the air. Kelly immediately told Sopko and the chief of police that she had not been aware that they had been outside. And this was a credible report from her, as they'd never knocked or attempted to announce their presence. And she told them that I remained inside, and she said, just go get him. He doesn't know you guys are out here, but he recently fell asleep on the couch. He's napping, and he'll come right out. What they did is immediately took Kelly's phone from her and placed her in a cruiser where she was kept detained, repeating this report for the next 4 hours. For 4 hours, these officers would tell Kelly, well, we know that he's not aware of that he's in there, but we got to wait till we get a warrant first. However, these same exact officers went around and continued to tell SWAT that I was barricaded and refusing to exit. They told my family that I was barricaded and that I was in contact with negotiators, and they used the fake standoff narrative to buy time and leverage pressure to obtain a warrant. My dad had arrived at the condos after hearing the false reports, and Officer Dodona, who had already heard Kelly say that I wasn't even aware police were outside, looked at my dad and told him that, yes, your son's barricaded, and if you have anything that can explain why he's doing this, we would like to know. And he pressed my dad for any negative information about me. My dad said, let me talk to my son. I can end all of this right now. Each time, Dodona replied, sir, we'd try a million things before we'd ever let you try to get a hold of him, and we still wouldn't do it. Now, at that time, we kept telling my dad that. My dad didn't know, but they hadn't tried to do anything to get me out of the condo to alert me to their presence. I would have came right out. My dad was frustrated after asking several times, and basically became, you know, clear that police were acting so bizarre and strange that he said,
you have 1 minute remaining.
Killed by police. And Officer Dodona, Kelly overheard him mocking this with another officer saying, you didn't hear the dad? He said he doesn't want to watch us kill his son today, so he left. And that's very disturbing, and it's very true. It is a true report that Kelly said, and something that, overall, the actions of these officers, who immediately after that, Dodona went to my mom and pressed her for anything, said, yes, your son's in the standoff, barricaded, anything negative report you can give us, he might not have said negative, but he was basically, you know, we need to know why he would act like this, what would cause him to do this, is he on drugs, does he have firearms, and, you know, for the most part, these people were, you know, saying no. I mean, this is not like Dan at all, and doesn't make sense. And my mom said, why would he be talking to these negotiators, but he's not answering my calls and texts? I'm trying to get a hold of them. which the donut was caught at that point because he knew I was not in contact with any negotiators, told my mother, ordered her to stop trying to call and text me.
Thank you for using Global Tel Link.
All righty, there you go. That was, again, the call. We had to tape his call because of the situation there at the prison. So here, again, I believe him. His story there. He was trying to get someone. He's been trying to get a hold of someone, maybe the Vance campaign or to, you know, get his story out. And, you know, just like he's like one of the J6ers, and just like one of the, you know, Trump went and pardoned a lot of the pro-lifers that were arrested simply for praying outside the bloody abortion mills. But I wonder how many more people like Dan there are. John, what do you think out there? How many more in prisons around here that we don't know about?
You know, Pastor Ernie, there should be something within the administration, someone in the administration that should be detailed to look for situations like this. You know, 'cause this is all residue from Biden.
Yeah.
And what he was doing. So there should be someone that the president can designate to scour the country to see how many people like this man here may be under the legal system, still under the legal system from what Biden started.
Absolutely. One of the things, at least, you know, we've given over the years, John, we've given many, many, many people a platform to tell their story because they couldn't tell their story anywhere else, okay? And, you know, we prayed about it, and, you know, and if the story was plausible or sound for real, we gave them a platform to have a voice because, there's, like you said, we don't know how many people are in. But you and I have had to deal with the corrupt court system, and I know that they had planned on coming to my house in the middle of the night and arresting me for anti-government activities. And they did get my associate pastor, Richard, and he spent 10 years in prison for simply trying to petitioning the courts to show him the law. Show me with this law that they're using to prosecute people with. But anyhow, so the corruption is still there. I mean, it's still implanted in the judicial system. But anyhow, at least we have a platform, but I'm very concerned how much longer we're going to have. This is summertime, John, and you happen to be in one of those states where there's a lot of pressure on me right now to drop a number of stations because they're not producing. And Texas happens to be one of those that's not paying its way all the way. And, you know, and you have so many good people. We have so many good listeners out there in Texas, a lot of listeners and supporters. And I know, understand right now, especially, not only is it summertime, but the horrible, horrible flood that you had out there. And, you know, John, that was a repeat of what happened in 1987. Did you know that? In that same area.
That was a repeat. The difference was the one in, it was 1998, that was during the day. And the people were able to respond real quickly. This one here happened like 1 a.m. And they're saying that was the big difference between them.
Yeah, it was a horrible, horrible thing. Well, they said that they didn't have the money to install early warning systems, but the governor out there says that's going to change now. But anyhow, and I know that that's a very worthy cause, you know, and praise God that people we can give to that. In fact, you know, I'm looking into seeing if we can where we can support some of those people, send some food or money that way. But because, you know, of that, it's ministries like this one, not because of that, it's they're giving to causes like that, and they should. It should be priority. But summer is tough enough for us, and I really don't want to have to go off of that station out there in Texas. But like I said, there's a lot of the pressure. So folks out, not just Texas, San Diego, you're number one, actually, even before Texas, San Diego. And also, Illinois has been doing better. Illinois has been doing a lot better. But Illinois and New York has fallen down some. And so we definitely need to hear from you folks out there, or we may have to go off some more stations. I hate to have to do that. Because, you know, John, we fight, and we've come, you know, so close, you know, the skin of our teeth of going off those stations before. And so, folks, next week is Pledge Week, and the newsletter is going out now. And all I got to tell you is, I don't know what else to tell you, but if you want to keep hearing, but we're going to be bringing you some stories. In fact, we're going to be going to a break. John, you know who Virginia I always have a hard time pronouncing her last name.
Yeah, it's a French name. Yeah, she's one of the young girls that was molested there by Epstein's, I don't know what you call it, his business or whatever.
Yeah, there she was one. Of course, this has caused a lot of problems right now with this list. You've got Dan Bongino. You've got here Cash Patel. They're threatening to quit, to leave, unless Trump replaces Pam Bondi. It seems like right now Trump is leaning more to supporting Pam Bondi. All has to do with that visitors list, Epstein's Island, and how that's being handled. And I'm a little confused about some things. Now, there's a lot of different stories, and some of what you're going to hear, folks, a few years ago would have seemed over the top for us. We'd had a hard time believing it. But because of what is happening today, and John, you know what happened with those police officers in New York, that when they were going over Wiener's laptop and what they found on there, what happened.
But, you know, they seven of them died a very short time, within a short time.
Seven out of nine.
Yeah.
All ended up, yeah.
Yeah.
Something very, and so, of course, what's happened to us here, to us now, you know, with what happened on the 23rd of May, when you and I and Pastor Hal all were hit at the very same time with the very same thing. What happened prior to that in the studio, when you had that high frequency noise coming out? I mean, it was just unbelievable. So these things, you know, they're not normal. They're, well, you might say supernatural.
No. Yeah, in that Ernie, sense. Through the years, there have been, I don't know how many occasions, but it's noteworthy that your line went dead. You know, I call in, your line went dead, and I couldn't get back. I couldn't get back into the show.
And so, but it was only, and I would have more station managers say, it only happens when you're on. It only happens to when you're on. It doesn't happen but only when you're on. And so we're coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, I'll introduce this next clip. And folks, we haven't been able to verify any of this, but you have to make up your own mind about what you're going to hear. So we'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. Don't go away. More to come.